We're blessed. I've got some good news and some bad news for you. I wondered, when did they take the clock down last night? Now they've discovered where it is. The good news is the clock is right here on the pulpit. The bad news is it's broke. And amen. We're blessed. There's some special people I want to, I don't want to take a lot of time reminiscing tonight, because I have something that I want to minister to, and I'm going to have to switch mics here if I can get Carol to help me. Is it on? Can I switch? There's some special people here. I could just reminisce tonight, because a lot of people that have helped me to be where I am today are in this church. And I hope I don't cry in saying these things, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I told Brother Lakey, if the walls could talk, they'd scream the memories of what's happened in this church down through the years, from the Loves to the Brother Sheets, Brother Stewart, Brother Ammons, our family. You know, we had a large family. There's five of us. And Lillian and Paul were married under Brother and Sister Sheets' ministry. Brother Sheets married them. Wayne and Dorothea were married under Brother Stewart's ministry, and Brenda and I were married, and also Jerry and was married during that tenure, and also then Brother Ammons came, and Jan and I was married in their tenure. So we're spread out through this thing, and we're blessed to have all those former pastors with us. Of course, my father's dead and gone, but he lives today in heaven, and may even be looking down tonight, I don't know, but I know sometimes I can feel the presence through his memories that we have of him. My mother's here tonight. We're blessed to have my mother. And we kind of stole her away. She lives right down the church from where I pastor. And I tell the congregation, I said, man, you know I can't exaggerate every Sunday. I got my mother sitting right here, examining it all. So, but we're blessed. She's kind of the mother of our church, and everyone just loves her and pampers her, and we're excited to have her. And I want her to stand, and I want Aretha Wilkes to stand, because I think, and I'd like to have all of the teachers that I sat under Sunday school, Sister Gillespie, Sister Jones, Nancy Randolph, many more, but I want all of you to stand. I can't name you all, so just if you taught me, you in class, would you stand, Sister Turner, Brother Tex Fortenberry, and the high school class up here, and we've been blessed to him going to Mexico with us this last year to build churches, and also Roy Lobos. But I want to say something concerning Aretha and my mother. The day I was saved, many of you have heard this story, and I won't repeat it too long, except to say that the day that I was saved was at the Vacation Bible School in Abernathy, Texas, where George and Aretha went to church at that time, and they were our neighbors to the north. And on that particular day, it had rained, and in fact, we'd had a hailstorm the night before, very severe, and Dad was gone early to check the crops and to check motors that had been running during the storm. And on a Friday morning, we had no transportation, basically, to get me up to the Bible school. We'd been going all week there, and my mother said, well, I'll take you, and she got on a tractor and drove me about 3 miles over to Aretha and George's house, and then Aretha drove me the rest of the way, because she was teaching the school, and I had ridden with her every morning anyway. But Mother drove me in that morning on the second seat on the right-hand side by a little pole. They sang a chorus, Into My Heart. And that's when Jesus came into my heart. How many of you remember the first time you were saved? Amen. It's a special day, and I thank God for both of these, my mother and my neighbor. I've often wondered what would have happened if I hadn't gone that day. I often think about this in the day in which we live. There's some moms that won't take their children to Sunday school or Bible school in a Cadillac, much less on a tractor. Say amen to that. Well, see if I've left out anything. I think the only thing I want to mention further in reminiscing before we preach, I want to mention three great people that we left marks in our lives that are not here today, and I haven't heard their names mentioned. One was Bill Phillips. One was, and his wife Ruby, of course. And the other was dear Brother Garner, who blessed us richly as teenagers. And then, of course, Sister Blevins, who just in the last month has gone to be with the Lord. And she was one of my teachers also, and she put up with a lot. Her and Sister Gillespie really put up with a lot. Do kids still climb on the roof during Sunday school? Am I the only one that ever did that, Sister Gillespie? Let me tell you something, when you've got red hair, they don't forget you. You stand out. There were 13 other boys that climbed out that window, and I'm the only one. Just thought I'd throw that in. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 5, and I know that many of you are tired and have stayed over, in fact, I know Lee and Paul have to catch a plane a little bit, so if they walk out, it's not that they're mad at me. They got to get home, and I understand that. In Romans chapter 5, I want to begin reading with verse 1, and I'd like, if you would, to read out loud with me through verse number 10. Through verse number 10. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Father, we ask thine anointing tonight upon thy servant as we speak. And we pray, Lord, that you would anoint the ears of your people. And Father, Lord, you know the long day that we've all had. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bring rest to our spirit and help the word of God go through our hearts tonight, Father. And Lord, let the words that go forth tonight not be in vain, but Lord, let them rest in some spirit. And Father, Lord, let them be meat for our soul and nourishment to our spiritual health. In your name, and everyone said, amen. I want to use for a text tonight verse number 10. Which says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Aren't you glad that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been reconciled back to him? And I want to choose as a topic tonight the last few verses, or the last few words of verse 10. It says, we shall be saved by his life. Everyone quote that with me, will you? We shall be saved by his life. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, the verses in that chapter that we did not read, describes to us how that sin entered into man through Adam, and how that by one man sin entered in, then by one man, that man being Jesus Christ, then we shall be reconciled to God. And that is what we know is in Christian doctrine as justification. And we are justified to Jesus Christ by the precious blood of Jesus. But I want to describe to you tonight how sin entered into the world, just as an introduction. All of us know that Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden partook of the tree in the garden of the midst of that, or the tree in the midst of the garden, and sin entered into this world through deception. The enemy spoke to them truth and deceived them with very truth. Twisted it just enough to make it a lie. And he's still doing that. And God tells us we're not to be deceived. And when we're deceived, it causes death to come upon us. And because of Eve's sin and then Adam's sin following hers, then we find that sin entered into this world. We find that when sin entered into this world, that later on that day that it occurred, we find that God came walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, and he began to call for Adam and to call for Eve. And he said, Adam, he said, where art thou, Adam? And Adam said, we have heard thy voice, and we were afraid. And we have hid ourselves because we are naked. And God asked them this question. He said, who hath caused you to sin? Have you? And God knew what had happened. He said, what is it that you've done? Have you taken of the tree in the midst of the garden? And then the blame set in. Guilt was already there. And when your guilt is there, then blame comes. And Adam said, it's this woman that you gave me. And we know that immediately that God began to issue out judgment upon sin. Listen to me. When sin comes into your life, judgment is immediately behind it. The Bible says, they that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And there is a reaping that comes with sin. There is a judgment that comes with sin. And when God found out that they had sinned, then he brought his judgments, and he issued them out to the woman and to the man, that the man should go out and work by the sweat of his brow. He cursed the ground and caused thorns and thistles to grow. He cursed the woman and said, in childbirth, you will have sorrow. And all these things. But then the final thing, and a lot of people think of this as punishment that God had dealt out, and that's really a deception too, because this part that I'm fixing to mention was not a deception. And that is that in Genesis chapter 3, you can read this story as I've just quoted it basically or translated it. And in Genesis chapter 3, if you'd like to turn with me, we'll find something that God did in verse number 22. And he said, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And that's exactly what the devil had told Eve in verse number 5. He said, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that's exactly what God confirmed later on. And he said, because the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And then he did something that all of us think of sometimes as punishment. But in reality, it was not punishment, it was redemption. He said, now, lest man put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. When sin entered into this world, God immediately dealt with it and judged it, and immediately drove Adam and Eve away from the garden so that he could redeem them, because he loved us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:17 says, for God came not into this world to condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come to hammer us over the head. He came to redeem us. And when we find that God drove Adam and Eve out of that garden, it was the most wonderful act of love that he ever did. He said, because if I don't get them out of the garden, if they ever take of that tree of life, then they'll live forever. And you may not agree with this statement, but I believe with all of my heart that if Adam and Eve had ever gotten to that tree of life before God had driven them out of the garden, that they would have lived forever in a sinful state and would really have been unredeemable. You may have to study that out yourself. And if you say, where'd you come up with that? Well, I heard Brother Rogers preach on that one time. And I figure if it's good enough for him to preach, it's good enough for me to preach. And I tell you what, I have had more fun over the last few years studying out some of the things that Brother Rogers taught us in camp meeting. He's not here tonight. He's preaching. But I tell you what, there's a preacher, if there was ever a preacher. He's a preacher. God drove us out to save us. He drove us out to save us. Aren't you glad? I've often wondered what would have happened if Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree of life before they had eaten of the tree of knowledge. then it might have been that we would have lived forever and couldn't have sinned. Now, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you like to just go to Holt of Adam and Eve sometime and just shake them real good? Everybody would say amen. Jesus paid the penalty when he came to this earth, died upon the cross. We know that he became the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. I heard Brother Ammons preach a message when I was a teenager that it's just one of my favorite messages. Many of you may remember the message that he preached sometimes concerning the little donkey from Exodus chapter 13, verse 13, I believe. How that in the Old Testament, if you wanted to redeem a donkey was born under the curse of the law and had to be killed. His neck had to be broken. A farmer couldn't keep him. But if he did want to keep him, he had to redeem that donkey with a lamb and break his neck and put him on. And the Bible says they had to put him on the dung pile. That was the word that the scriptures uses. And we find that donkey represents sin, and that the lamb, of course, represented Jesus Christ. And we, if you follow that through, Brother Ammons used to teach us about this and tell us how that donkey represented sin and Jesus represented the lamb. And the lamb had to be destroyed and his neck broken and killed and lay down his life that the little donkey could go free. And then he brought that on down through the New Testament and shared with us and the significance of when Jesus told his disciples to go into the forks of the road and to get down at the forks of the road, and he would find there a donkey. And we find that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And backing up just a little bit, you remember when John the Baptist, when Jesus entered into his ministry, Jesus came walking down the hill one day. And John the Baptist looked and behold, and he saw him. And his words were these, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Remember the statement? Remember the scripture? And then we find that Jesus on the day that, on Palm Sunday, rode into Jerusalem. And what was he riding on? He was riding on a donkey. The representative of the Lamb of God, was on the very top of sin. And let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is on top of sin today. Jesus Christ has conquered sin today. If we go to hell, it won't be because Jesus hasn't redeemed us. It'll be because we step over the blood of Jesus Christ. If you go to hell, it won't be Brother Charles Ogden. Many of you know him. Many of you have heard him preach in this. In fact, the record that we cut that we were reminiscing today, Charles Ogden actually paid for that album, I believe, and cut it. And what a sorry album it was. It was awful. It was absolutely the worst. But we sure had fun with it. But it was bad, wasn't it, Dub? Everybody that thought it was bad, say amen. See there? I'm not the only one that thought it was bad. It's just a sorry record. And what was I going to say about Charles Ogden? I didn't mean to say it was a sorry record about Charles. Charles Ogden came to our church a few years ago, and two years ago, and he preached a message, and just a simple message. But he said, "If I go to hell, who can I blame?" And the ultimate response was, "If you go to hell, you'll have nobody to blame but yourself. Because God's done everything he can do. Jesus has done all he can do. The Holy Spirit is doing all he can do. And the angels of the Lord are encompassing around us about us to assure us of salvation. But if we go to hell, it'll be because we sinned ourselves. God won't send." I worked with a man a few years ago, and he was not a Christian. He made this statement. He said, "I can't believe that their God in heaven would send people to hell." He doesn't. John 3:17, I just quoted it, "For God has not, he didn't come here to condemn us, but that the whole world through him might be saved." And I'm glad today that we have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We know why Jesus died. I've said all of it, all that I've said, and reminisced to Brother Rogers' teachings and Brother Ammons to talk about how sin entered and how death reigns because of sin in our lives. And we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Do we not know that? But let me ask you something. We know that he had to pay the penalty and die, but let me ask you something. Why did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? Why was he raised on the third day? What's so important about the resurrection? None of the lambs in the Old Testament were raised up. What is the importance of the life and Jesus Christ living today? And he does live today. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for us, for you and for me, and he lives today. What is the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I wrote this down this week. Jesus died for our future and because of our past. But Jesus was raised from the dead for our present. He was raised from the... I want to say that again. Jesus died for the future so we could go to heaven. And he died because of our past that we could be forgiven. And I thank God for that. But I'm thankful even more than that. He died, he rose from the dead so he could take care of the present. And he can walk with us, and he can talk with us, he can live with us, and he's with us this day. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I think is the ultimate. He said, and it said, Paul wrote these words. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ now liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. We are who we are today. We are at First Assembly again today, not because we've done great things, not because we've been in the ministry 20 years, but because Jesus died and rose again on the third day, as Brenda sung about it a while ago. Because he rose again on the third day, and he lives. He's walking with us. He's alive in our spirit today. And he said, I will never leave you comfortless. He said, if I go away, I'll send you another. I'll send you the Comforter. I heard somebody say a few weeks ago, he said, man, God's for us. God and Jesus Christ is praying for us. The Holy Spirit is in us. The angels of the Lord encompassed around about us. We can't lose. We can't lose. God for us. Jesus praying. The Holy Spirit in us. The angels encompassed around about us. We are winners through Jesus Christ. And the text that I read tonight says, if when we were enemies, if while we were without with sin, while we were enemies, if we were reconciled to God by his death, if we were brought back in fellowship with him by his death, how much more shall we be saved by his life? Now, I don't know what that does for you, but I tell you what, when I was this week, I was praying, and God, on Tuesday morning, we have a 6 o'clock prayer meeting in our church every day. And let me tell you something, you want to turn your church on, you start getting 30, 40 people praying at 6 o'clock in the morning. And let me tell you something, it'll bring revival to your church. You, whatever problem you have, it'll about solve it. It'll just about solve any problem you have. And I tell you something else, you want to do something for God, Brother Ammons taught us well, you just get to praying and God will do it. And when you get people praying, they'll quit griping, they'll quit gossiping, they'll start paying their tithe, they'll start doing what they need to do instead of what they shouldn't do. And God will do great things. When people are praying, they won't gossip. But I won't get off on that. Y'all don't have any gossipers in this church. I know it. That don't happen. Jesus was raised from the dead for our present. And I've said we shall be saved by his life. Listen to me, church. Salvation is more than a layaway plan for when I die, I can go to heaven. A lot of people get saved and say, man, I'm going to heaven, I'm saved. Well, let me ask you something. What about today? Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. There's a lot of people that be breathing, but you don't have life. You don't have abundance. You're not happy. You're just kind of sad and moping around, and you don't have victory in your life. Jesus Christ wants you to be a happy kind of guy. Jesus Christ wants you to have a smile on your face. You know, I've always been a hyper kid. I tell you what, I mean, I just bounced off the walls. I watch my son sometimes. He's just a little wiggle worm. He come by it honest. I wiggle a lot. I couldn't sit still even today if I had to. That's why I'm walking around. But let me tell you something. There's another reason besides that. I'm an excited kind of guy. I'm happy. I've got something to be excited about. I have Jesus Christ in my life, and I'm not waiting till I die to get to go to heaven to start enjoying it. Jesus said, I have come that you might have it and have life and have it in abundance. And I can tell you here today, and I tell people all the time, I'm blessed more than anybody. God's been better to me than... I have a man in my church that's 94 years old, old Bob Marr, and he said, Preacher, God's been better to me than anybody. And I've kind of stolen his line because I feel that too. I feel like that the last... I'd go back and enjoy the friendships, but I wouldn't go back and do anything any different because God has blessed me. I've never been a time that God hadn't supplied my needs. I've never been rich, and I've been close to poor. But let me tell you something. I can tell you, I've always been happy. I don't have any trouble sitting here tonight among relatives, among friends. I don't have anything to really be embarrassed about. I'm glad today that I didn't sow a lot of wild oats. And I'm really glad tonight that I didn't sow a lot of wild oats in high school. I don't have anything to back down today. I don't say that braggingly. I didn't say I was perfect. Perfect. I've got my fault. And Suzanne, I have to tell you this. I guess of all the people, relatives, and also for David, of course, David come, he comes to church here. But I know Suzanne made a real special effort to come today. I guess of all the compliments tonight of everybody coming, all of it, it all is, but you being here means a whole lot, you and Mrs. Thornton being. They've known me since the first grade. And she's a young lady that also lived the life in our school of Jesus Christ. It was always evident that she loved the Lord, and her family was a godly family, lived right across from the school and very involved. Aren't you glad for people who know Jesus and love Him? Aren't you glad that the light can shine? You know who they are. Even though they don't have to tell you, you just know who they are. Listen, I'm glad for the blessings of God. My mother's here tonight. She'd tell you I get excited. Paul will tell you I get excited. In fact, I used to embarrass my brothers and my sisters because I was always excited. They always used to tell me, just don't get so excited. Just settle down, sit down, be quiet for a little while. But let me tell you something. I was sitting down, but I was standing up on the inside. Man, I tell you what, I was sitting down. I was always excited, and I'm excited now. And I tell our church at home, man, get excited. If it's worth coming to church, let's get excited. Man, let's not make it a drudgery. If we're going to sing a song, let's sing it with enthusiasm. Let's sing it with excitement. If we're going to sing it, let's not sing it like some dead church. Let's sing it like a live church, because we are a live church, because we're crucified with Christ, but He lives with, but we're not, we're crucified, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life that I'm now living, I live it by the faith and the Son of God, who loved me and who gave Himself for me. And let me tell you something. If He can die for me, I can get excited for Him. I can get excited for Him. This is not a dead gospel, and I don't serve a dead God. God's not dead. I talked to Him this morning. He's still alive. Who wrote that song? God's not dead. He's still alive. Remember that one when it came out? The Statesman Quartet came through here singing that song. Brought the house down on this platform, singing, God's not dead, He's still alive. And He's still alive 20 years later. And He'll still be alive tomorrow, and He'll still be alive 20 years from now. And He'll still be alive when all of you are dead and gone, when we're dead and gone. He'll still be alive in ages to come. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, He'll be alive, and we'll be alive with Him. That's exciting. You know, we were raised in this church, dancing in the aisles, running the aisles, having Jericho marches, praying in the aisles till it was 2 in the morning and 3 in the morning. And let me tell you something, that's why you had 20 or 30 people on the choir this morning. That's why they was up there this morning. You know what? We reminisced Friday night. I tell you, I'm so tired just reminiscing. I'm not tired of it. I'm just tired from it. But let me tell you something. I looked up here this morning, and I've seen them come from all over. And oh, yes, some of them had some struggles. Some of them had some scars in their lives. But let me tell you something. They still know that their Redeemer lives. They still know where their bread's buttered. And it's at the altar of Jesus Christ. They still know how to pray. They still know how to read the Bible. Most of them are still involved in church. You know why? Because the foundations were laid through preachers like Homer Sheets, through preachers like Ma and Paul Walker. And I've seen many a time that Ma Walker, when there were three aisles in this church instead of just two, and I can just see her now standing up back over here about where Aunt Ruth is sitting right now. And I can just see her now walk out in that little aisle testifying, pulling that little hanky through her hand. Can some of y'all visualize that? Isn't that how she did it? She always carried that little hanky, and she, all the time she was testifying, she had to walk out. Listen, she was excited about Jesus Christ. Listen, what a heritage I have. What a heritage I have as a young man in this church. My mom goes back to this church, and Ma Turner's not here. I hadn't heard her mentioned today. But it's because she's feeble. Tom's here, and Nancy, and Avery, and Charlesy. All of these are here today, and they're her children. Let me tell you something. A great dear saint of God was Ma Turner. She was my dad's sister. Let me tell you something. If it hadn't been for Sister Turner, most of the relatives here today wouldn't even know what Pentecost is all about because of the life that she's lived. And let me tell you something about her. I hadn't got to see her here. My mother went to see her yesterday, and some of my brothers, and I hadn't got to see her yet. But let me tell you something. She was excited about Jesus. She knew how to get answers for prayer. She wasn't embarrassed. She wasn't ashamed, man. She'd get up and testify, and before she sat down, she'd, yoo-hoo! Amen? They were excited for Jesus Christ. We live in a world where there's two forces. There's the forces of good and evil. And I'm not talking about a gospel of positive thinking or positive relationships. I'm just talking about the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. I sometimes get angry in my spirit at people that won't get excited for serving Jesus. Ask people, hey, are you saved? Everybody saved, raise your hand. You know, raise them up about this high. You know, are you saved, man? You ought to be the first one to hand. You ought to stand up and make sure people, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. I'm excited about what's happening in my life, and I'm on for Jesus Christ. He's been good to me. He's never failed me. He's never forsaken me. You know, we used to stand up and testify and say, I'm just glad that the Lord saved me and gave his life for me. Y'all pray for me that I'll go all the way with him. Others would stand up and say, the devil's been on my back all week. Bless his holy name. Let me tell you something. You wouldn't give so much attention to the devil. He wouldn't bother you as much. Sometimes you have to literally kick the devil in the teeth. When we say that, oh, the name of the Lord is like a strong tower, the righteous shall run into it and they shall be safe. When we get to that part of it, said, and the We kick the gates of hell in. I mean, in children's church, sister, listen to me. I'm for the church. I'm for the programs of the church. I'm for Sunday school. I'm for vacation Bible school. I'm for youth camp. I'm for children's camps. We send those off at our church to do that, and that's great. But listen, this is the guy that's the product of all those things. I was saved in vacation Bible school, filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a little room up here in Junior CA with... Who was the lady that helped you? It wasn't Sister Street, was it? Darlene Palmer. I've tried to remember her name. But service went on to about 8 or 8:30 that night, and I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Called to the ministry at Roaring Springs Youth Camp with a rattlesnake right above the rafters. Man, that'll make anybody want to do something. Man. Now, don't get me, those of you that's visiting that, don't get us wrong. We don't handle rattlesnakes around here. But you couldn't prove it by going to Roaring Springs. Are they still there, Brother Slayton? They got them, huh? Are they probably grown up and big now? They were just sometimes small size, but those boys are probably full grown by this time. But I'm for those things in the church, and those of you that teach them, don't give up. Get excited about what you're doing. The devil will fight you, and everything. And we live in a hustling world, and I'm talking about busy, and everybody's going this direction, going this way. And sometimes the church in the day in which we live seems to take the back seat instead of the front seat, and that's what's wrong with the world. When the church, and I believe this, I believe that there's a world out there that still is looking for the gospel, still preached. I believe, and I thank God for young people tonight that's standing on the sitting on the front seat, and that's exciting. And Karen, that's a compliment to your youth group and to your leadership. And have you already been to camp this year, or are you fixing to go? You already been? Already been, great. And I tell you what, our young people said at the front, we're seeing a revival in our youth. And listen to me, moms and dads. Our young people of our nation are waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in full force. They don't want anything watered down. They're ready to be, I think they're ready to dedicate. I think they're ready to commit. And I believe you ought to preach it straight and preach it hard. Give them the alternatives that they need and give them some recreation. I don't mean it's all social life, but I think that if there's one thing that kept our youth group together, I believe this, is that we weren't allowed to do anything. Young people, you listen to me. Brother Slayton, have you ever heard this at Walk the Hatchie? I've said where you said. Have you ever heard that? Karen, did you ever hear that at Southwest? Don't you get tired of hearing that statement? But, you know, I haven't sat in these pews because these are new pews. But I've sat in this church, and I know what it's like on Sunday night to think, oh, all of our friends are. I know what it's like to go to high school, and Suzanne can tell you they sometimes made fun of me being a holy roller, didn't they, Suzanne? Some of them did. You didn't, but some of them did. And I know what it's like to go through that. But listen to me. You stay true to Jesus Christ, and He'll be true to you. And I can say this. There were a lot of times in high school that I thought that I was the odd duck in the row sometimes. And there was a lot of times in those years that I thought, you know, everybody's having a good time but me. And it seemed like in a lot of those years, our pastors were telling us that anything that was fun was sin. If it was fun, it was sin. But let me tell you something else. Our pastors did, and I know your pastor does this too, and Karen does too. They provided us alternatives, and I'll tell you again. If you'll involve yourself, if you'll get around in the altars and pray, and you begin to pray for one another, if you begin to walk these aisles and pray, and you'll forget about a little hamburger after church and get in those aisles and just really pray through to an old-fashioned experience every week. Some of you may have to get saved every week. Me and Dale did. Every revival, me and Dale were the new, we were kind of planted in the congregation as the people that would raise their hand for salvation every Sunday. We let them down. Isn't that right, Dale? It's the gospel truth, isn't it? Here it is again. Here we go. And we'd have to go down and pray through. But you know what? Just keep praying through. You know, you're not going to get perfect until Jesus comes. But the Bible says you must strive for perfection. And when you strive, the more you strive, the more you realize how imperfect you are. And when you realize how imperfect you are, you realize how needy you are. And when you realize how needy you are, you realize how much more you need to read your Bible. And the more you read your Bible, you realize how much you need to pray. And the more you pray, the closer you'll get to God. And the closer you get to God, the less you'll want to sin. And the less you sin, the happier you'll be. And the happier you are, the more excited you can be for Jesus Christ. And then all the things around the world will just fall off of you. Pretty soon, you won't have to drink and smoke and curse, and you won't have to go out. You won't find your joy in the lust of the flesh and looking at other girls. And our young people today are hearing the message of, hey, it's all right. And our parents are teaching them, because we've allowed divorce to creep in so readily in our home, that we're teaching that it's basically all right to just go here and go to bed with this one and go to bed with this one. Let me tell you something tonight. And I know Brother Lacey preaches this, but it's wrong. It's sin.
I tell our congregation this, so I'll get to meddling just a little bit, but moms and dads, if you'll clean up your homes. Bill Phillips used to, Martin, I was thinking this week and reminiscing about Bill Phillips. The last thing I ever heard Bill Phillips says, he said, church, we're going to lose it if we don't get televisions out of our home. We'd have been better off to listen to Bill Phillips. And I tell you something else, I don't believe it's too late to get televisions out of our home. VCRs have crept in, and with that, people have sinned through allowing dirty movies to come in and R-rated movies and what used to be unacceptable at all in our minds. We're now allowing it in our very homes. And you wonder why revival won't reign in your spirits, because when you've got the church, you've had your mind so full of garbage that you've watched through television and through those other things, and you fed on garbage and fed on trash. Come on, say amen. Jesus come to save us and give us life today. And when there's life in us, death does not reign in us. And when sin's not in us, neither is there desire for the sinful things. through the power of the Holy Spirit. God saved us to live in His Spirit. He freed us from His guilt. Romans 8, verse 1, and I'm closing. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, but if that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, He shall quicken your mortal bodies. And that word quicken meant, said, cause to come to life. And man, what if the world ever needed the church to be quickened? We're living in a day where people need the church to be alive and be on fire for God. This is no time to act like the Methodist, no time to act like the Baptist. And I don't mean that critically. I don't mean that at all critically. I'm just saying this. This is no time to sit back. Listen, the world's hungry for an excited gospel. And I want to tell you something. My mother, our forefathers, my forefathers come out of the Methodist church and the Baptist churches. My uncle's here tonight from the Baptist. Suzanne's from the Methodist. I don't say those critically. I just tell you this, that the world wants an on-fire church. Are you hearing me? And whatever church you're in or whatever church you go to, be on fire for Jesus Christ. Get excited about it. It doesn't matter. I've seen Catholics that were excited for God. I've seen Catholics that were more excited than people. But I've said what I said to say this. Those churches are more excited than some of our Pentecostals anymore. And they're looking, the world is looking for something different. The young people are looking for power. They're looking for an anointing. They're looking for joy. They're looking for peace. They're looking for the fruits of the Spirit. The world today is looking for love. They're looking for joy. They're looking for peace. They're looking for gentleness. They're looking for kindness. They're looking for meekness. They're looking for temperance, and they're not finding it. Because those are fruits of the Holy Spirit. And the only place that basically they're going to be found is among Christians who have the love of Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled by His death, how much more shall we be saved by His life? How much more are you going to be saved by His life? Because He lives, we shall live also. And because He's alive today, I'm alive in my spirit. And I'm raised to walk. Romans 8 says, I'm raised to walk in newness of life. That's what water baptism is all about. A symbolization of we die to the self and die to the past of our sins. And we rise up to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. That's exciting. Church, God wants us to be saved today. You know, it's more than just when I die, man, I want to be ready. Man, I want to be ready today so I can have a good time. I can tell you something. You're looking at one guy that has fun being a Christian. Pete, I've got my family here, and they'll tell you, I'm not afraid to ask anybody anything. If we need something in our church, I ask for it. We went through a building program a few years, built a new family center. Paid it completely debt-free. We run 600 or 700 in church, and God blesses us. And when we get ready to do something, I just say, hey, you know, if God's laid it on my heart, let's do it. The devil always comes up and says, man, you can't do it. It's not going to happen. You know, listen, there's always somebody that says it can't be done. That's why you don't want to share with too many people what you want to do. Because they'll talk you out of it. It's the truth. That's the truth. And I'll tell you this. Paul knows this. You know, if God speaks to my heart as a pastor, I'll have to tell you, I don't have a board meeting if I feel like God spoke to me. And if it's some idea that I've been thinking about, something I feel like we need to do, I have a board meeting. And we have a board meeting. I'm not a dictator in our church. Don't think I'm not. And I'll tell you something else. Everything that we do by basically 100% vote from the deacon board. Isn't that right, Paul? Paul's gone. Wasn't that sneaky? You always got to know who to ask, see? But you know what? If God speaks to your heart to do something, if God calls you, He'll provide it. He'll provide it. I just remember one day David was with me, and we were in a building program, and we needed something. And I knew that God was for us, and I said, God, you said that this was your work, and we need it. And we don't have the money. But you said we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. And we needed some sheetrock moved. And we bought it at $1 a sheet. And we bought about 500 sheets of this stuff. And we needed a big old trailer. And we needed a forklift and all these things. Or we was going to cost it. We got it for $1 a sheet, brand new. But by the time we was going to get it hauled and moved, the labor of it was going to take so much. And that it was just going to be overwhelming. And one day I needed it that night or I was going to lose it. And I walked out in the office. Brenda said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go find it. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. She said, are you just going to, David was with me. He said, Dad, are you just going to drive? I said, yes, son. I said, as we drive down the road. Now, in Houston, I just left the church. I said, I want you to look for a truck pulling a trailer. A flatbed trailer. It's got to be big enough that a forklift can get up to it. It can't have sideboards on it because the forklift's got to lay it down. He said, what are we going to do if we find it? I said, we're going to follow him and ask for it. I drove. I had one hour. It was 4 o'clock and my men of the church were going to be there at 5 to start putting this stuff up. I had looked all day and I was in a helpless situation. I said, God, I got to have something. All of a sudden, I turned and this man, I was going one direction under an interstate, and he turned and went behind me. And by the time I could get around and get turned back, I lost him. And I just kept trying to find him. And I thought, where did that man go? He had the perfect rig that I needed. Just perfect rig. And I lost him. So I drove down this road and I thought, well, I'm going to pull into this shop right here and I'm going to see what they have, because they look like a big industrial shop type situation. I said, I'll see what they have. Well, when I pulled in there, guess what I saw? When I pulled in there and I drove to the back, there was that very pickup and that very trailer that man was driving. And I got to, then I found the truck and lost the driver. I said, where's the driver of that truck? David couldn't believe it. Where's David? David, what I'm telling is the truth, isn't it? David was with me. I finally found the driver, and he said, that's not my truck, it's my boss's. He said, he won't be available for 10 minutes. I said, I'll wait. I sat down in there and waited for a minute. I said, sir, I need really bad for the work of the Lord that trailer that's sitting out there. And I need the truck to pull it. Can you help me? He said, is that all you need? I said, no, sir, it's really not all I need. I said, do you have a forklift? He said, I can't loan you that truck. It's not mine. But he said, about 30 miles from here, I've got a tractor, trailer. And he said, I do have a forklift. I said, how soon can you get it? He said, when do you need it? I said, 45 minutes. He said, boy, you need it now, don't you? And I said, I really do. I really do. I really need it now. And he said, tell you what, I'll run to Conroe. I'll get it. I'll bring it back. I'll have the man to drive the forklift down there. I'll have the man to drive the truck there. Where do you want it? That man went and picked up that stuff, brought it to this church, unloaded it, put it in a storage building. When I went to ask him what he wanted us to pay him, he said, you don't owe me anything. And I invited him in, and the ladies had cooked food that night, and we fed him a meal. But listen to me, I'm talking about, you have not because you ask not. Are you hearing me? God is for you. And if God is for you, Romans 8 says, if God be for you, who can be against you? And my wife has a real good quoting for that. If God be for you, who cares who's against you? You want to live a victorious Christian life? Get in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Verse number 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. John chapter 15 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask anything that you need of, and he'll give it to you. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 8, we'll close this thing out tonight by reading verses number Start with verse number 20. He said, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Righteousness didn't reign. What fruit had you then in those things wherein you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And listen to what Paul said. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I'm in the wrong verse. But I didn't want to read that. Now turn, stay with me. 8 verse 34. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And Paul asks a question. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? How many of you have had some tribulation? Only four? I'm moving back. Man, there's no tribulation around here. He said, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. We are more, say that with me, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother Lakey referred to a scripture this morning that I just want to requote in 1 Corinthians. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Unmovable. And that was a great message, Brother Lakey. It was a great message, and I think that we ought to hear it today. And that's why I want to close with it again. The Lord had laid it on my heart before you, and I had it had already pegged to read it. And I said, Lord, that's just confirmation that we're all on the same length today, that we are to be steadfast, unmovable. But listen to what it says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sister Gillespie, don't give up. You know, something that really meant a lot to me this week, besides Brother Lakey opening up the doors for us to come home. To some of you, this is just another Sunday. To some of you, you don't really understand what we're excited about. But to a few of us around here, words would never describe what we have felt by being home. It's an awesome feeling. Friday night, Sister Gillespie was with us. Saturday night, she was with us. All day today, she's just kind of followed us right along. And you know what? She did that. She's done that. She did that for the whole 20 years before I left here. And it was because of people like them. I watched tonight as Brother Walter Randolph took up the offering. He's done that for 40 years. He's done that forever. And I don't say that to be negative. I say that as a compliment. Amen. Some of you have done the same thing over and over and over again. And it may not seem much to you, And I wanted to sing a song tonight, but it's just out of my range. I can't sing it. But many of you probably heard the song, and I'll conclude with it just by verbalizing it. Ray Bolt sang it. And the word said that I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked along the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. What's the rest of it? Can you quote them for me? We heard the angels singing. Someone called your name. Huh? He turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And here's what he said: thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. I don't know what time y'all usually get out. We start at 6. At our church, we start at 6:30. We're out by about 9. Y'all are tired. I know you're tired and want to go home. We don't have a lot of time, and I just don't want to make this too quick or too long and drawn out. But I want Dale to stand. Dale, would you stand? And just quickly, who's someone that you would thank today for your heritage in this church? Amen. Amen. You know, one of the verses of that song says, a missionary came to the church, and just paraphrased, a missionary came to the church. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And in heaven, this one person didn't know. He'd never met him, but he said, listen to me, I am a life that was changed by your giving. Some of you here tonight, you've never moved out of Lubbock. And in your eyes, you may not think that you've done anything great. But you don't know how many lives you've touched. There are hundreds of people that have been channeled through this church and gone out, and they live all over the nation. And some of them were back this morning. Some of them couldn't come back this morning. But you'll never know the lives that's been touched. One of these days, you hadn't seen reunion till we get to heaven. I think of people that some of you may not know. The Stewarts, what was the other Stewart family that used to be here? The little boy had his legs cut off by a combine, and there was Steve Stewart. And I haven't heard about them. But what about families like that? And their lives have been touched and affected by this church. The Lambs and people. Listen, it's a good thing all of them didn't get to come home today, because we wouldn't have had room to put them. But one day we'll have one massive reunion, and we'll have other choirs, the choirs from the years where Brother Stewart was there, that Jan was in, and Becky Stewart was in, LaVoy Dewey directed it, and they went. I remember them going to Midland singing in the CA conventions. Let me tell you something. This church has touched the lives of hundreds of people because of just dedicated, faithful, steadfast people, unmovable people, always keeping the faith. Just always doing what seems like maybe in a monotonous routine. But let me tell you something, it's important to the work of God. If you didn't do it, somebody else would have to do it. And you've carried the load. You're carrying the torch. We're in the decade of harvest in the 90s. Church, be alive. Be alive. Young people, get excited for Jesus Christ. You young people look at me and say, I'm excited. All right. Stay that way, would you? Praise the Lord. Come on up. Stand up with me, and I want our young people to come and stand across. This is the way we end our services at home. And Brother Lake, if you just bear with me a minute, I want to pray for the young people. And I want to tell people like George and Aretha, you're not too old to support them. You might feel like you are, but let me tell you something. Some of the very people that touched our lives the most were the elderly group in our church. And I know with us getting older, some of you are feeling older, and maybe you feel like it's time for young ones to take over. Don't you ever kid yourself. Brother Rogers has already gone somewhere, preached, and come home, and here we are. That's time to, that means it's time to go, doesn't it? Brother Rogers, I was glad you was away tonight. I preached a little bit of one of your messages. Amen. It'll be young people like this. Let me ask you something. What about these young people 20 years from now? Can they come home? Young people, some of the very lives that's touched your lives touched our lives in the same way they're touching yours. And let me tell you something. You don't know how to appreciate them right now, but one day you'll thank God for them. Some of them may even seem old-fashioned to you. But you couldn't ask for better people to keep you pointed on. They've been steady. They've been straight. And they hadn't done it just for the last year or two. Many of them have been along the path, along the road, for 20, 30, and 40 years. I see Sister Love back there. How long have you been saved, Sister Love? She's too far along her heavenly journey to turn back now. Amen. Amen. Would you reach a hand towards the young people of this church and pray that God just fill them full of His Spirit? Father, if when we were reconciled by Your death, how much more shall we live by Your life and be saved by it? I am blessed. Lord, I don't know their names, but You know all about them. Praise the Lord. There's a song that we sing in our church, and maybe y'all heard it, Revive Us, by the moving of the Holy Spirit. Brenda, would you come? Pardon me if you think I'm taking too much time, but I'll tell you, I'm having a good time. We used not to get out till midnight. And I believe if we let the Spirit move, we might not get out of there tonight. No, I'm not going to hold you that long. But I will have to tell you, I cling to some memories tonight. They wrote in my high school prophecy, said in 20 years, Robert Hogan will be on Channel 13. Be Robert Hogan Crusade for Christ. Well, I didn't make Channel 13, Suzanne, but I'm still living for Jesus. And you tell any classmate that I see that I still love him, and I love them. We need revival in our land, and it's not going to come from the outside church. It's going to come with us. And all the world needs to see is this Jesus that died for us. They just need to know He lives in us. And because He lives in us, we're happy and excited and on fire for God. If you know this, sing along with us. Revive us, revive us by the moving of Your Spirit, Lord, revive us, that our children might walk with the Lord.
walk with the Lord.
How many of you have heard that song? Let's sing it again.
Lord, revive.